The book of Joshua, chapter 14, the end of verse 10, Caleb is speaking. And he gives us his age. End of the verse, I am this day 85 years old. In other words, I'm 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Let's look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this great story of Caleb. Lord, we pray as we turn to it now for a few moments and consider its lessons, help us and guide us. We ask of thee, in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. On Friday night, there was a senior citizens' dinner. I got an invitation as well along. When I was over in Melbourne, I mentioned being at that sheltered dwelling and then eating with the senior citizens in that home, and then also visiting a dear lady well into her 90s. And someone went, picked her up in the wheelchair bound. She came along to the service. I was surprised to see her on the Sunday. And so we have a Children's Day every year. And I was thinking, well, why not have a Senior Citizens Day? Well, we're not quite having that, but I want to speak this morning to senior citizens. Now, there are lessons for all of us. But what a wonderful man Caleb was. God's wonderful senior citizen. God's wonderful senior citizen. Wasn't shy about giving his age. He said, I am 85. I was telling him at the dinner, that's the technical term for that is octogenarian. And somebody in their 90s is a nonagenarian, an octogenarian. I know a man in Belfast was told that, but he went around not saying octogenarian. He told everybody he was an octogeranium. Well, he must have still been blossoming and blooming and flowering. But here's God's senior citizen, and there are lessons for all of us. But remember in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said to explain what was happening, he said, these are the latter days, and we're still living in those latter days, commencing in the book of Acts chapter 2. And one of the signs would be that your old men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. And Caleb had a dream. It wasn't something he had dreamt up in himself, but he had an aspiration. He had a desire. He had a God-given dream that he would obtain a certain inheritance. And for 45 years, he had kept that aspiration, that desire before him. And the desire was that he would possess Mount Hebron. As I said today, it's a major city in the West Bank. It's an actual place. Jews still go to it because of the famous patriarchs who are buried there. So it is a controversial site and looked upon as a holy site by Islam and by the Jews. But 45 years before this, Joshua and Caleb had went to spy out the land along with 10 other spies. 10 spies, of course, came back and said that we can't take it. Joshua and Caleb said we ought to go in. It's interesting when you know the story in Numbers 13 and 14 that they brought back a bunch of grapes. That's still one of the symbols of Israel to this day, from the valley of Eshcol. It'll not surprise you to know that the valley of Eshcol is right beside Mount Hebron. The Bible doesn't say it, but I like to think that it was Joshua and Caleb who carried that bunch of grapes on a pole that were so heavy. Now you imagine grapes like that. They had to carry them on a pole, one bunch. Certainly it's next to Hebron, the land that Caleb was talking about. And he wanted that. And remember, Caleb had this desire because Caleb was one of the people of God. Caleb, as a young boy, was born in Egypt. And never forget this, the Israelites were no better than the Egyptians. The Israelites too were involved in idol worship. But God had given a covenant to Abraham, their forefather, that after 400 odd years he would bring Abraham's descendants out. And the whip of this taskmaster got heavier upon the backs of the Israelites until they were miserable in Egypt. Until they could stand it no more, and they cried to the Lord to send them a deliverer. And God sent them Moses. And the plagues came. And God had an unusual way of delivering the Israelites. He sent the death angel on the Passover night, and he said, every Israelite home, there has to be a death as well. But if you take a lamb and shed its blood and put the blood upon the doorposts, the firstborn will be saved. And so Caleb was one of those among the Israelites who could say they'd been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They had been redeemed out of the bondage of Egypt, which is always a picture of the world. Redeemed out of Egypt, redeemed by the blood. But why did God call the Israelites out of Egypt? We all know the story. Why? Because he set his love upon them. But he called them out that he might bring them in. He said, I'm calling you out of Egypt that I may bring you into a land of blessing. So that word redemption we talk about, the redemption of Christ, it's illustrated in what Caleb experienced. Being brought out from bondage. Being brought out by the price of the blood of a lamb. And being brought into a land of blessing. Now, when the Israelites came out, they were brought out, of course, of Egypt. But you know what many of them did? They didn't go all the way with God. They wandered in the wilderness. They were out of Egypt, but they didn't believe God for the blessing. And so many of them perished in the wilderness. And you're saying, well, what's all that got to do with me sitting in Newton Ard's church in 2008? Well, if we had time to read the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians and the New Testament, the book of Joshua correspond. Read them both together. They're both similar. Because we're told in the book of Ephesians that we were dead in sin. We were in the bondage of the fear of death under the wrath of God. That's the condition of every one of us. But God in his mercy convicted believers, those of us who are saved, of our sin, and we saw our need. And we saw that through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, we could be redeemed from the condemnation of this world. And we can say we've been redeemed by the blood. We've been brought out. But God has brought us out that he might bring us in. And the book of Ephesians says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he lists those wonderful blessings. In other words, Caleb was saying for those 45 years, it's as if he's saying, Lord, you brought me out of Egypt, but oh God, I want all that you have for me. Lord, I want the blessings you promised. I want the land of Hebron. Now, those grapes in the land of Hebron illustrate the blessings of the Christian life. Hebron is a word that means friendship or fellowship. Of course, it was a fruitful land, as I've already mentioned, the grapes. It was a place of fullness. It's as if Caleb was saying, oh Lord, I want fellowship with you. I want the fullness of the blessing. I want my life to be fruitful. And that's what your life can be. And he's 85 years of age. And you know what he's saying? Lord, that's still my desire. And he goes to his friend Joshua, and he says, Joshua, my desire is still that I will know fellowship. You see, why are we saved? Why does God offer we sinners salvation? This is the purpose of life eternal, that we might know him. Paul said that I might know him. Thank God this morning through Christ, you and I can fellowship with God. We can know God personally. You can know him personally. God wants our lives to be full of the blessing of God. Didn't Paul pray that often in the scriptures? That ye might be filled with the fullness of God. That we might be fruitful. The Lord told his disciples, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. That you should go and bring forth fruit. Paul prayed that the early churches would be filled with the fruit and grow in the knowledge of God. And here's this man at 85, God's senior citizen. What lessons can you learn about this man? This man who still at 85 is saying, the goal of my life, the aim, the desire is that I would know fellowship with God. That I would know the fullness of God's blessing in my life. And that I would know fruitfulness in and through my life. Is that your desire, whether you're a senior citizen or not? It ought to be. Four quick things about Caleb that make me want to call him this morning God's wonderful senior citizen. Notice firstly, his strength had not weakened. Verse 10, it says this, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. I want you to stop there. No matter what age you are, that's true. The very fact that you and I are sitting in the pews today is for one reason only. God has kept us alive. When I was minister in Clocker Valley, they had a graveyard. You know the first internment? Was a young toddler just over a year old. For a time I was over the work in Corrigarry over the border. They purchased a graveyard land next to the church building. First burial was a young baby. The old have to die, the young must die. And I'm making the point here that this man acknowledged that I'm still alive because God has chosen to keep me alive. And if we're, well, I'm going to say, if we're still alive, I hope you're not, of course we're alive here this morning, sitting there. But God has you alive for your purpose. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, my, you ought to thank God for the blessing that you're here where the gospel's preached, and this morning you can trust Him. And if you know Him as Savior, God isn't finished with you. He still wants to bless you and to make you a blessing. And then he speaks here not only about the length of his life, he speaks in verse 11 about the strength of his life. He said, I am yet as strong this day. You see that as I was on the day that Moses sent me. 85 years old, and he said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Now, of course, taking all the scripture together, we're not saying this morning that no matter what age you are, you'll still be as strong physically. That doesn't happen. Of course, the age comes, the effects come, and we get slowed down, and the jet lag gets harder to get over after the plane journeys. But this story is here to teach us New Testament spiritual truth, and here's the truth. Caleb, here's the illustration, his strength hadn't weakened. And the Apostle Paul wrote often about how the outer man was perishing. He said, this outer body of mine's getting weaker. That's what he meant. But inwardly, the inner man is getting stronger. The real me. The real person. Sometimes talked in Scripture about your soul. Oh, yes. God's senior citizens, yes, you might be feeling the infirmity of age, and not as quick as you used to be, not as fit as you used to be, but thank God you can grow stronger spiritually. As the days and years go, you can grow stronger spiritually. That's the point. That's the point. You see, some people endure in life, but Caleb was enjoying life. He says, I'm 85, but I want all that God wants me. And I'm just as strong as I was. When you read the book of Joshua, you'll find that some tribes didn't take their land. Caleb wanted to take it. Some didn't take it because of complacency. Some didn't take it because of cowardice. Some didn't take it because of compromise. But here's an 85-year-old God senior citizen saying, I want all that God is for me. And I'm going to have it. And my strength hasn't weakened. Why not? Number two, because he had a faith that never wearied, never wavered. He had a faith that never wavered. Think of it. For time, I can't go back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. But you had 10 spies all said, we can't take the land. In Numbers 14:24, God said Joshua and Caleb had a different attitude. They believed God. And you know, those hundreds of thousands of Israelites, when they heard the report, they sided with the 10 that said, you can't do it. And there was Moses and Joshua and Caleb, and they stood up and said, we can do it. They had faith to oppose the majority. And that takes faith. They had faith in God. And in fact, you know, the others wanted to take up stones and kill them. But Caleb's faith never wavered. The others were saying, oh, the people are giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Look at how much bigger those people are than us. And Caleb said, look at how much bigger God is than those people. He had his eyes upon God. He had faith because he had another spirit in him. And what he's saying is here at age 85, Lord, at age 40 you give me a promise. And I still believe it. I'm still depending upon it. I'm still relying upon it. I'm standing on the promises of God. Now for 45 years he wandered in the wilderness with the other Israelites. Do you know all his school friends, if you want to put it that way, died? Because all those who wouldn't believe perished in the wilderness. Every day there were deaths all around them in those 40 years. For 40 years going through a wilderness. But his faith didn't waver. His faith kept going. And now at age 85, he's saying, look, I still believe God. Tell me, do you still believe God through trials? Do you still believe God through the tests? What I'm trying to point is, Caleb didn't have it easy. 45 years he's waited and he sees no sign of getting his land. But he still had faith. Somebody put it this way, the faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. Caleb still believed God. His strength never weakened because his faith never wavered. Thirdly, do you know why his strength never weakened and his faith never wavered? It's because his love never waned. His love never waned. How do you know someone really loves the Lord? It's easy to say in a meeting to stand up and say, oh, how much I love the Lord. It's relatively easy to sing a song or a hymn and say how much we love the Lord. How do you know someone loves the Lord? How do you know if you really love the Lord? Listen, Christ said this, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We know that this senior citizen had a great love for his Lord. Why? Because he followed the Lord. Look at it here in the Word of God. He wholly followed the Lord. Holy verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Notice it in your Bible. Verse 8. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at the end of verse 9. This is Moses speaking. Thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That's how I know he loved the Lord, because he followed him. He obeyed him. That's what made him a wonderful senior citizen. Now, if you go back this afternoon and take the time in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 and in this chapter, do you know what you'll find? Six times. That same phrase is recorded. Well, one time it is fully followed. Or followed the Lord fully, to be exact. The same thought. He wholly followed the Lord. It doesn't say he partially followed the Lord as God. It didn't say he almost fully followed the Lord of God. It didn't say that he followed the Lord more than other people followed the Lord. It said he wholly followed the Lord. Now, what a testimony. What a testimony. 85-year-old man, and God recorded 6 times in Scripture that here is an 85-year-old man, and the testimony of God is there's a man who wholly followed God. That's how I know he loved the Lord. Love the story of an 87-year-old missionary who had been in India for quite a number of years. His little granddaughter was talking to him about his life. And he said to her, many years ago, as a young man, I got down on my knees. And I said to the Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you would have me to go. And the Lord seemed to say, it's India. And I said, Lord, if it's India, open the doors. If it's not, close the doors. And the Lord opened the door for myself and your grandmother. We went out to India to serve the Lord. And I found that God has never disappointed me. And I've sought to follow him, not as fully as I ought to have at some times, but I've sought to follow the Lord my God. And if I had to do it over again, so the little granddaughter said, if you had to do it over again, oh yes. If I had to do it over again, I would just change one thing. Times when I didn't follow him as fully as I ought, I would try to follow him more fully. I'd try to be more true. But then the little daughter, granddaughter said this, Granda, what about the stroke you've had? What about the stroke you've had? And this is the answer he gave. Yes, even with the stroke. When I said, Lord, I'll follow you, I didn't say, except I take a stroke. I said, I'll follow you whatever. And I take this stroke as part of God's plan. And I'd do it again and I'd still follow him. I love what William Booth, the famous founder of the Salvation Army, said. You know, William Booth went blind before he died. And there were those who were concerned about him when his eyesight was going. And even the eye doctor came and his friend said to him, what are you going to do when your eyesight goes completely? What are you going to do when your eyesight goes completely? He said, well, what are you talking about? I've served the Lord when I can see, so I'll serve him when I can't see. I served the Lord when I could see, and I'll keep on serving him when I can't see. Now, those are examples of God's senior citizens. Of course, I remind all of us here, illness and such things can come to those a lot younger in life. I'm saying that Caleb loved the Lord. Now, why did he follow the Lord? Because Caleb loved the Lord. That's why. Let me remind you again, take you back to Egypt. There's Caleb. He's living in Egypt. He knows the wrath of God is about to fall at midnight. But he knows that God has provided a way of redemption. And in that home, now he was about 40 years old at that time, so he may have had children. We don't know. The Bible doesn't go into details. But we do know this. In the Israelites' home, there had to be a death. And whether Caleb had a family of his own or still living at home with his parents, we don't know. But I do know this. In the house where Caleb lived in Egypt, the blood was put upon the doorpost. And Caleb knew that night the wrath of God was coming. And God had said in every home there'd be a death. The death angel was passing through the land. And Caleb, I believe, never forgot that night. And he never forgot that God had provided a wonderful way of salvation and redemption. And that was to apply the blood of the Lamb, to obey the Lord's word, and to get in under the blood and the shelter under the blood of the Lamb. And he never forgot how God in grace had chosen him out of Egypt. That God in his grace had taken Caleb out when the Israelites marched out of the land. And now God had brought him into the promised land, though he hadn't got his possession yet, waiting for it. That's what made him love the Lord, because of what the Lord had done for him. You see, we love him because he first loved us. We're commanded in Scripture to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, strength, soul, and mind. We're commanded to love him and have no other gods before him. But how can we love God? Maybe you are here and you've heard people sing about how much they love the Lord, and you say, well, how do you get this love? You can't work it up. You can't work up love for God in your own strength. Tell you how you get love for God. When you begin to see yourself as a sinner under condemnation, and you begin to see that God the Son came into this earth and took a human body and a human nature, and he became the perfect Lamb of God, and you begin to see what the cross is all about, that it's God the Son taking the place of sinners. And when you can get to the place where you see that you are condemned to eternal wrath, but that the Lord Jesus Christ actually took your place, and those things that happened to him in Calvary ought to have happened to you, and there in the darkness that God the Father put upon his Son, your hell, the wrath that ought to have been yours. And when you realize that God's arms are open to say, come, come and be forgiven. But it's not through your prayers, it's not through your tears, it's not through your good works. It's not through anything you can do, but that God in mercy says, come to Christ. Come to the Lamb of God. Be redeemed. Salvation is a gift. Now, when you obey the gospel, just as Caleb got into the house with the blood upon the doorpost, when you get into Christ and trust in the blood of Christ, and you know that your sins are taken away, and you know the Lord. Christ put it this way, he that's forgiven much loveth much. That's why Caleb loved the Lord. That's why we love the Lord this morning. We, because of what he's done for us. Caleb, God's wonderful senior citizen, he had a strength that never weakened. Because he had a faith that never wavered, because he had a love that never waned. And listen, he obtained a blessing that never wasted. He got his Hebron. At 85 years of age, he entered into an experience with God that was deeper and greater than any had ever had. Do you know, in the Christian life, there's a wonderful truth. While we thank God for the blessings of the past, we don't live in the past. God can give us greater every day. Don't we sing sometimes how the way grows sweeter every day? It was true for Caleb. At 85, he got a blessing he had never had before. He got Hebron, for verse 14 says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. And thank God this morning, not only the senior citizens here, but every one of us can obtain blessings from God today that we'll never lose. Do you have the blessing of sins forgiven? Do you have the blessing of pardon? Do you have the blessing of knowing that God hears your prayers? Do you have the blessing of knowing that if you put your head on the pillow, never to awaken in this world, that you're absolutely certain you'll awaken in heaven? You can have that blessing today. Because the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life, and he that is the Son of Life. Do you have those blessings? You can have them. Blessings that will never fade. Interesting thing is, he got blessings for his children. He got blessing for his children. But look at verse 9. It says, shall be thine inheritance and thy children's. Do you know, I'll not turn to it, but in the next chapter, verse 19, you'll find Caleb's daughter was getting ready to be married. You know what she did? She went to her dad and said, "Dad, would you give me part of your inheritance?" He said, "Here you are. Take some of the land." Isn't that wonderful? Caleb obtained something from God that he passed on to his children. You senior citizens are here this morning in the congregation. We appreciate you in the Lord. And you're so vital to the work of this congregation. And do you know, senior citizens, you can be like Caleb and obtain blessings that you can enjoy and that you can pass on to the children of this congregation. Have you thought about that? Oh, you can. You can obtain blessings from God that will bless the boys and girls, the young children. And do you know, later on, Hebron became a city of refuge. That's later on where men who were in danger could go and be safe from the one who was coming to slay them. Oh, what is that speaking to me? Thank God we can have a blessing that can reach out not only to our own children, those in the Lord, but to those who don't know the Lord. Senior citizens can be a testimony for Christ. Senior citizens can lead people to Christ. Senior citizens, by their life and testimony, can be the means of bringing souls to Christ. What a blessing. We can be, as it were, that city of refuge. I love the story of George Whitefield. He was speaking one day to some other ministers over in the States, or well, what was called the colonies at that time, and he was saying how tired and weary that he was in the work of God. Not of the work, but so tired of the burdens. And he said, "Oh, I'll be so glad when the work is over and I lay down my ministry and I leave this world to be with Christ." And the others, they all said the same. "We're so tired and weary." One man didn't speak, a Mr. Tennant, very famous in church history in America. He didn't speak. He was the oldest. And Whitefield tapped him in the knee and said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you're the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is near at hand when you'll be called home?" The old man looked at them and said, "I have nothing to do with my death. That's in God's hands. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can, and to serve my Saviour as faithfully as I can until the time he thinks it's right to call me home." And Whitefield said, "You've rebuked us, brother." It's our duty, no matter what age we are, to live for the Lord. And I love the verse, "We can still bring forth fruit in old age. Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow. Though my sight is growing dim, still he bids me trust in him." And thank God, God is a work not only for the young, but God is a work for the older ones as well. And God is a great ministry for senior citizens in this congregation. And God is a great blessing for you. God can bless you richly. Oh, this morning, that your love will not wane, that you'll think much of Christ and his promises. And you'll have that faith to go on with God, and that God will bless. Let's turn for just a verse or two of a hymn. We'll not sing too